Blog Talk Radio.
Against my hollow bones, that rocks my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh Lord, oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised ghettos of the city, yeah. Oh Lord, Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny, yeah. Oh Lord, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? Oh, somebody tell me, what can I do? Will I survive or will I die? You can make it if you try.
Oh, and some of us, we're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. I want you to know that I don't speak for myself, but I speak for y'all too right now. You see, if you're half white, light brown skinned, or high yellow, you're still black. So we all got to stick together right now. This I want to say to you, my sisters and my brothers. Right on, sister. Right on, brother. Dig this. If we keep on pushing, y'all, oh, we got to make it a little bit further. We got to make it a little further. All we got to do is try, try, try. And some of us, we're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard. We're trying so hard to be somebody. We're trying so hard, although they're holding us back. And it stands to reason that they're doing us like that. You know what? It is. I believe it's because we're black. But hey, we can't stop now. We can't stop now. We got to keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. We got to keep on, keeping on. I know and I know and I know that you know that I know it ain't right. It ain't right, it ain't right. That they hold us, hold us, hold us back. They're holding us back. They're holding us back. I wonder. Sometimes I sit down, and I wonder. I sit down and I think about it. Sometimes it makes me so mad. It makes me so mad.
If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
You're going to try and love your enemy. You're going to pray for them that despitefully use you. So he's not worried about you. But he knows if you're a Muslim, you're not going to turn the other cheek. If you pray for him, you pray that God kills him, or God helps you to kill him. That's the only kind of prayer you pray. It's time for you and me to unite, to get together and get this big white ape off our back. You got a bad habit. You're hooked and don't know it. You got what's known as white disease. You think you can't get along without the white man. You think you can't get some clothes without the white man. You think you can't get a house without the white man. You think you can't even get a job without the white man. You're worse than a man who thinks he can't get along without heroin. You're worse than the man who thinks he can't get along without morphine. You're worse than the junkie. You're in worse shape than the junkie because the junkie only has a little monkey on his back and you're running around with a big white ape named Uncle Sam on your back. America is faced with her worst domestic crisis since the Civil War, or since the Revolutionary War. For America now faces a race war. A race war is worse than a revolutionary war. A race war is worse than a civil war. A race war is a war in which no holds are barred. A race war is a war in which children are destroyed. in which children are mutilated, in which children face the same destructive wrath that grown-ups face. A race war is the worst war that you can conceive. And this war, race war, that is coming upon the head of the white man is something that he is bringing down upon himself. The entire country is on the verge of erupting into racial violence and bloodshed. Simply because 20 million ex-slaves are demanding freedom, justice, and equality here in America from their former slave master. 20 million so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, seeking human dignity, seeking human rights, seeking the right to live in dignity as a human being. And rather than give genuine respect and recognition to your cry for human rights, the American white man answers your nonviolence with violence. He answers your prayers and your freedom songs with false promises, deceitful maneuvers, and outright bloodshed. According to what we are taught from the white man's textbooks and his school, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War were two wars fought on American soil, supposedly for freedom and democracy. But that these two wars were really for the freedom and human dignity of all men, why are 20 million of our people still confined here in America and enslaved by second-class citizenship? Something is wrong. The truth is that the Revolutionary War was fought on American soil to free the American white man from the English white man. The Revolutionary War was never fought to provide freedom and democracy in this white country for the black man. Our people remain slaves here in America even after the Declaration of Independence was signed. In fact, most of the white founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence were nothing but slave owners themselves. It is sheer hypocrisy, sheer ignorance, sheer insanity for our people here in America to celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, while white America still denies us first-class citizenship that goes with an independent people. And it is nothing but hypocrisy for the American white man to pretend that the Revolutionary War was truly a war of independence as long as 20 million black people here in America are denied the privileges of an independent people. Don't let the white man fool you. Don't let the white man smile at you and lull you to sleep. Behind that smile is a vicious heart. Behind those teeth is an animal-like beast who doesn't have it within him to want for you what he wants for himself and his own kind. Don't let that man fool you. When you look at that man, you're supposed to see him for exactly what he is. And if you want to know what he is, examine his deeds. Forget his words. He got a whole lot of pretty sounding words. Watch his deeds. His deeds are like the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a serpent, the deeds of a dragon, the deeds of a reptile, the deeds of a beast. Why, nothing but a race of beasts would take dogs and stick them on little black babies. Nothing but a race of beasts will stick dogs on black children and black women. Nothing but a race of beasts. And it is these deeds today that's causing the wrath of God to come down upon the head of the white man. And when you see him as he is and see how much hell he's catching, you're out of his mind to want to be with him. You're out of your mind to want to integrate with him. And you're really out of your mind if you take time to forgive him and ask God to have mercy on him. No, ask God to judge him. Ask God to do unto him as he has done unto you. He has caused your babies to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering upon his babies. He has caused your women to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering on his women. He has caused all of our people to suffer. You can't deny that. You may not like my saying it, but you can't deny it. Why, you got scars and knots on your head from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And every one of those scars is evidence against the American white man. and his inhumanity to man. The Civil War was also fought on this continent, not to free the black slave, as is commonly taught in the white man's schools, but the Civil War was actually fought to preserve the Union, preserve this country, keep it intact for white people. It wasn't fought to set you free. It wasn't fought to give you some kind of emancipation. It wasn't fought to make you a citizen. It wasn't fought to give you civil rights. It wasn't fought because they respected you and loved you as a human being. It was fought out of greed. It was fought out of selfishness. It was fought to keep this country intact for their own white selves. In essence, this only means that the American white man fought the Revolutionary War to get this country for himself. And he then fought the Civil War to keep this country intact for himself. And today, he will now fight a race war to keep from having to share this white country on an equal basis with anyone else but his white self, especially on an equal basis with his 20 million former slaves. So again I ask, where will all of these demonstrations end? And who dares to say that our people are not justified by demonstrating their resentment over the injustice and mistreatment that our people have suffered these 400 years at the hands of this cruel, inhuman American white man? We have nothing to lose but our chains. We have nothing to lose but the hell we experience every day living here in these rat-filled slums. You have to excuse me for being blunt speaking and frank talking. We don't care who likes it or not, as long as we know it's the truth. Much of what I say might sound bitter, but it's the truth. Much of what I say might sound like it's stirring up trouble, but it's the truth. Much of what I say might sound like it is hate, but it's the truth. And God has mentioned in the Bible, it's truth alone today that'll make you free. If you're afraid to tell the truth, why, you don't even deserve freedom. Just tell the truth. The best thing to put the white man to flight is truth. He can't take the truth. He can't stand the truth. He doesn't like the truth, especially when you know the truth about him. The truth about how he got those blue eyes. And the truth about how he got that stringy, dog-like hair. And the truth about how his skin became as pale and pallid and sickly as it is. When you know the truth about how he got the way he is, you can run him down the street with nothing but truth. You don't need any blade. You don't need any switchblade. All you need is the truth. They put you in jail for carrying a blade, but they can't put you in jail for telling the truth.
Not that I hate you first. You're the first line I hate. I hate all white people. White people are rotten, and black people are just like them. Because you've made them just exactly like you. They walk like you, they talk like you, everything they do is like you. They want to be you so much. They love your woman more than you do. They know your mind better than you. They wear your clothes. They've even learned to wear your shoes. You take them out of the jungle, and you want to make them into a man. Why couldn't it be left to be God? Why do you want to make them into a man? In the jungle, they were God. Africans are smart, aren't they? See, over here, everybody thinks them old black people are just dumb old colored folks. But they're not dumb old colored folks. They're very smart. They're very aware. And their capacity for fear is three times what yours is.
Talk about it. So, you just heard everything that was played. You just heard everything that was said. So let's talk about it. You know, let's address the elephant in the room. We cannot continue to ignore the elephant in the room just because we're comfortable. It's like watching a child in a room with music playing. Or while the music is playing and you're in the other room and it's a child alone in the other room and the child is crying. But the music drowns out the cries. but you act as if nothing is going on. You're so distracted by the music that you forget that there's a child in the room. You're not even aware or even thinking that this child may need you, that it may be crying, that it may be in some type of distress, but you're so distracted by all the noise and the entertainment around you. Distractions keep us ignorant to what's really going on around us. And when you're in a constant state of ignorance, you're not going to make intelligent decisions. You're going to make ignorant decisions because ignorance begets ignorance. And so that brings me to this point and to this statement, as like you heard earlier, if you don't understand racism or white supremacy or the ideology of racism and white supremacy, everything that you think you understand will only confuse you in every area of activity, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war / counter war. So you have to know your enemy. You have to know the war that's being waged against you. And most importantly, you have to know thyself. And once you know thyself and know thy enemy, then surely victory will be yours. But if you fail to know yourself or if you fail to know your enemy, then surely you will suffer defeat many times over. This is the current state, the current situation of black people, not knowing themselves and not knowing their enemy. So they're in a constant state of defeat, state of stress, constant trauma. Why? Due to ignorance. So you have to understand that miseducation and poor self-care are the leading causes of death in the black community. Yeah. See, crime and violence are the results of miseducation and poor self-care. We have to stop looking at the fruit of the problem and start looking at the root of the problem. We need right knowledge, self-love, and self-care to conquer this system. You cannot, you can't expect the same system that pushed you down to help you up. Only you can help you up. This is a corporation, and corporations are businesses. They're about business. So you have to understand that selling ignorance to black people is a multi-trillion dollar industry. They use entertainment and entertainers to sell you ignorance. Black entertainers and politicians are used as walking, talking billboards. The difference between the Negro and the NASCAR is you can see who sponsors the NASCAR, but you never know who sponsors the Negro. They took your warrior class and they turned them into athletes and gangbangers. But either way, they've been weaponized against you. Now look where we are. Now look at the current situation. Anybody could come up in your so-called neighborhood and wreak havoc. Nothing is done. No consequence, no repercussion. You don't even police or patrol your own neighborhoods. But you're constantly in a state of terror and being terrorized. But for some reason, we tend to ignore that the terror is going on. So instead of being prepared and being proactive and really, you know, getting some discipline and some insight, or getting some insight and disciplining yourself to the situations that are going on around you and getting on point, we choose to pacify and pacify ourselves with distractions, which, you know, there's always a warning before destruction. So you got to pay attention to what's going on around you. You got to be aware of, you know, what's going on around you and what the situation is around you, you know. So again, you know, how is it that you have the hostage in your own home, or, you know, you're terrorized in your own neighborhood? Because you're not looking out for yourselves. You're not taking care of each other. You're practicing capitalism. You're not practicing collectivism. You're practicing individualism. And there's nothing wrong with capitalism, long as it's collective capitalism. Collective capitalism is communism. But capitalism done individually, or individual capitalism, is individualism. You know, but we have to go back to having a common unity, you know, and really looking out for each other and taking care of each other. But also, you know, we have to tighten up. You know, we definitely have to maintain discipline and get some order, get some structure, you know, because we're too off point, you know, we're too off point. And with that, you know, when you let your guard down, you're open for attack, you know. So this is another reason why I created the Holistic Art of War, and teaching and dealing with a holistic warfare, you know, because it's very important, you know, to awaken that inner warrior within you, that warrior that's always aware, that warrior that's always prepared for battle. You know, you got too lax, too lazy, you're not dangerous no more. You know, you can still, you know, be intelligent and still be dangerous, you know. Stay smart, stay dangerous, you know, but you can't become so intelligent or intellectualized to the point that you become harmless, or you're viewed or looked at as a pushover or non-factor, or even worse, when you have people looking at you like you're less than human or like you don't exist. So they don't value your life or don't appreciate or even acknowledge your life as being equal to their life. You're beneath them like an ant or a bug, or, you know, some type of animal or rodent, something that can be killed without remorse. There's no guilt. So, of course, a person will plead not guilty because they don't feel guilty about their actions. It's even people who up for parole, things they want them to do is acknowledge to have remorse, guilt. How could you feel guilty for something or have remorse for something that you don't feel guilty about? So you have to understand the mind frame, the mentality, you know, of these people, you know, and what their thought process is going into certain situations and different things like that, you know. But then we have to also understand that this is a system, you know, this is a system at play, you know. This system is designed a certain way, and it's geared towards moving the masses, you know, moving the masses emotionally. This is how they control the population. So when you see the deaths or the killings or the loss of life, that's just collateral damage. It's all part of population control and depopulation. There's not enough for these parasites to hoard. You know, they don't want to share what they're hoarding. They're hoarding wealth and resources, you know, and it's not enough to go around. They barely want to share with themselves, let alone you. So if you're not useful or you're not serving a purpose to their system or to their agenda, then off with your head. So you got to understand, this is one of the reasons why they want you locked in suit, tied in suit, you know, playing that game and pledging allegiance to this system and being true to the game and honoring it and playing that game by the rules and not breaking the rules. The minute that the order is lost and that the people wake up, it's pure chaos for those who are oppressing those people. You know, so it has to be an agenda in place to keep you asleep, to keep you dormant, to keep you docile. And so we'll use multiple different distractions to yank at your emotions, to cause traumas, to have you arguing and bickering with yourselves, but to not really deal with the real issue at hand. being a pawn or a puppet for a system, or being a hamster running a hamster wheel, whether it's somebody else's hamster wheel, or they own the hamster wheel, or whether you own the hamster wheel. The fact still remains that you're running the hamster wheel. You know, so you hear shit like house nigga, field nigga. What difference do it make? House nigga, field nigga, you're both on the plantation still, nigga. So let's be real, nigga. If you're not talking about freedom, if you're not talking about exodus, then you're still a slave. A delusional slave, a slave that thinks he's free, a slave that doesn't know he's a slave is the worst kind of slave, because that slave will never have ambition with freedom, ambition for freedom, because in the mind of that slave, he's free. You can't tell a person that's in a box if they're in a box, if all they know is that box and they're comfortable and all of their creature comforts are set up inside of that box. Yeah. Good luck trying to convince them that they're in a box and they need to climb out of that box and go outside of the box. To them, everything they need is in that box. So they're not going to be acceptable to doing that. It's going to take a lot of convincing. It's going to take a lot of showing and a lot of proving. It's going to take a lot of show and prove power, you know. Now, normally, I don't even really give attention to these certain things that happen and that go on. And if you notice, I'm still treading lightly over it. I'm not going to go into all of these details and all of these things. You have to understand that, you know, when this cracker run out and do this, he's doing this for attention. He wants to create a spectacle. He wants a statement to be heard. He wants to get his point across, and he wants to get his point across to as many people as possible. So all of the sharing and reposting and commenting and all of that, you're just feeding into exactly what, or you're feeding that energy. You're giving him exactly what he wants. You got to understand, and then him, just an individual, that's a product of a bigger system. I don't know why y'all think shit changed. You know, because it's done differently. Did you think you made progress, or you think that, you know, cultural supremacy, the ideology of cultural supremacy doesn't still exist? You think the ideology of white supremacy doesn't still exist? That racism is just as simple as saying you don't like somebody because of the color of their skin? You don't understand that this is systematic, and that we're dealing with, when we talk about races, we're dealing with classes and class systems. But we label these classes by colors. And so now we're playing color games, but it's really all about class. So this is how you hear some people make statements like, well, you know, Michael Jordan is black, but he's not black. I mean, he's black, but he's not black. They're confused. What they're trying to say is, yeah, he's black by description, or he appears to be black as they would describe him, but his status or his class isn't black. He will be considered in a class, a white class, because you're talking about status. So this is where you get to all of the class tripping and the class hopping. And this is where the divisiveness comes in at, because you got to keep people at a state of division. And in order to conquer a person, you must first conquer their mind. So once the oppressed develops the mentality of the oppressor doesn't have to oppress anymore. The oppressed will oppress themselves for their oppressors. They'll provide you with all the tools you need to do their work for them. And they'll make sure you enjoy yourself while you're doing it. They'll make sure you feel good while you're destroying yourself. They'll make sure you feel good while you're doing their work for them. But you got to understand that we the people, we the cure. Every parasite needs a host. With no host, the parasite dies. We give life to what we give our attention to. Gil Scott-Heron said the revolution won't be televised. The revolution won't be televised because the revolution takes place in the mind. And revolution is the only solution. So you understand that What worries us masters us. What worries you masters you. So the things that we allow to worry us are the things that we allow to master us. And we have to get out of that place. We got to move to a different place. So, you know, just got to kind of step back, take a step back and analyze what's really going on around you. You know, don't get so caught up in go to the media hype and, you know, what the media is talking about and what the media is portraying and different things like that. Yeah, so definitely got to learn to keep your eyes open and really take a look at everything that's going on and really look and think for yourself and not allow yourself to be distracted by all of the different shit that they putting on the television and that they putting in front of you, you know, because they want to stir your emotions. You know, it's interesting how right and how relevant, you know, Brother Malcolm is even to this day. You know, that's why I played this snip or that excerpt from Malcolm's speech back when he was talking about how you got this thing called White's disease and how Black people act like they can't get along or they can't do anything without white people, you know. But then going into the dynamics of the relationship and the love-hate relationship and the abusive relationship that we're in, you know, falling in love with your abuser and trying to love your abuser, trying to find ways to sympathize, to understand your abuser, thinking that you're going to love your abuser away or that you're going to change their heart to love. But that's not the language that they speak, unfortunately, you know. And so, yeah, of course, like, we all know that that Black people weren't prepared to go to war, you know what I'm saying? They don't got the discipline or the militancy to go to war. You know, reckless gangbangers or whoever, you know what I'm saying, with guns, that's nothing. When you're dealing with people who study and train in combat and war and prepare for scenarios and situations and they're doing training drills and preparing, you know, for it to pop off. You know, you're sitting back playing with you know, guns on photos for IG and for the book and all of that and trying to make a cute music video and tilting your gun sideways. That ain't going to get it, homeboy. You know, you playing Call of Duty. And these dudes is out here really training for the Call of Duty. You understand me? So, you know, we gotta, you know, really get our head right and wrap our heads around these different things here, you know. And I'm just making it plain. You know, I'm not going into all of the name semantics about Black, white, all of that. I think I've clarified that enough, what all of that is. But we just going to deal with the terms that people are familiar with so we can convey this message and get this message to these people, you know. And this is just random, you know. And I just, you know, felt moved, you know, felt the flow to get on and speak on this, you know, and just to put this out here real quick, you know, because I see it's a lot of people getting sucked up into this and a lot of people are in a place where they're being very, very reactionary and becoming reactionary to the situation. You know, a lot of people are up in a state of fear. You know, they're terrified. So you got a lot of people now, they want to, you know, get guns. That's the last thing you need is a bunch of unstable people, you know, people with fear or a bunch of mentally unstable people running around with guns. You know, you don't want a bunch of people on edge running around with guns. You know, that's how police officers shoot people and do the dumb shit that they do. You don't need a bunch of civilians running around on some nut shit, you know, because they and their civilian feelings and, you know, prejudices and prejudging and, you know, them got scared, them got jumpy and them did some shit that now, you know, they got to deal with because you got to understand the system, it ain't going to treat you the same way it treat them. You don't get that slap on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? You ain't about to, You ain't about to go out, kill a cracker, then go have a coke and a smile. You know what I'm saying? Now, they might go out, kill a nigga, and go have a burger and a coke and a smile and sit at home with their family. Watching a family show like nothing ever happened. Mm-mm. You get caught up out there, you get baited in that shit. And why say they gonna do you? You gotta understand that these parasites that they set this shit up, this shit is already designed, you know. It's already done by design. So this is premeditated. You know, this is psychological warfare. These pieces have already been moved on this chessboard, you know, and the pawns are the people, and they're moving you at will, you know. So they know if I stage this, or if I incite or create the environment where this particular thing can happen in, then we're going to get this particular reaction. And we're all trying to move the masses. We're trying to move the flock in a certain direction, because ultimate goal is population control. You know, all of the black, the white, the class, all of that, you know, that's a factor that plays into it. But ultimately, it's all about domination and dominating the people collectively. Now, you have certain individuals that may have privilege and may have favor, and they're able to go out and, you know, keep promoting the illusion for you, you know, the dream that everybody's chasing. But you got to understand, to have a dream, you got to be sleep. And a dream could easily turn into a nightmare. So you chasing the American dream could easily turn into the American nightmare. And the American dream, that shit always sounded funny to me, because thinking like, well, the American dream, what is the African-American dream? Like, what does the American dream got to do with your black ass? Because the term American's been hijacked. It don't pertain to the copper-colored people, the original people of this land. It's pertaining to a bunch of immigrants and a bunch of people who migrated here, a bunch of foreigners, a bunch of colonizers that all nationalized under this banner. And they claiming to be real Americans, true Americans. So when you say the American dream, whose dream are you trying to be a part of? And if you're a part of somebody else's dream, what about your reality? So you helping build somebody else's dream. And if their dream is annual domination and to continuously dominate, then you're working towards building your oppression and strengthening the structure that you're being oppressed in. It's a lot of different dynamics and a lot of different ways to look at it. We can look at it on a micro level or on a macro level, you know, but we definitely have to look at things with our inner eye and look at things intelligently and process things with intellect, you know, and let our intellect guide our emotion and let our intelligence guide our emotion, you know, because it's a lot going on to get you in your emotions and to get you in your feelings and to have you reacting doing dumb shit, you know, because a lot of this is to get you to get the killing off yourselves and get the killing off each other, you know, provoking race wars and race riots and different things like that, you know, causing more hate and further division between the people, you know, so these puppets can keep on mastering the masses, you know, because that's what's going to go on. You know, whenever it's big distractions that go on, understand that it's a lot of shit going on behind the curtain that you don't see. It's just like when you go to watch a play, everything you see is on a stage. You don't see what's going on behind the curtain, all of the gears and the ropes and the pulleys and the hands that's making the show do what it do. You kind of got to take a step back, set our emotions to the side, look at this thing, like, what's going on? And you can see it. You know, we're in the days of the destruction. You know, as you heard the elders speak, he talked about where the destruction was going to take place. You know, he talks about on being in the last days and what we living in, you know. And this is amazing how, you know, a person can speak back in 1964, 65, in the early 1960s, or we'll say in the 1960s, and the message be so relevant still to this day, or almost seem like prophecy because of what was said. And, you know, this is not like to idolize or to hold any man in reverence, you know, but we did have teachers that came before us that really set blueprints and paved the way, set those footprints, you know, and we carry that torch, we carry that baton, and we take that, you know, what they brought, and we evolve it, and we take it further to get to the ultimate destination, which is freedom, you know, true freedom, you know, not a false sense of freedom, you know, not an imaginary sense of freedom, but true freedom, you know, mental clarity, you know, to be a peace of mind, you know, but to not be enslaved mentally or in a state of spiritual bondage, you know, because the physical slavery aspect is over. You're not enslaved. You're not a slave physical anymore. You're not a physical slave. It's mental. It's spiritual. So you're in a state of enslavement and in a state of bondage. Because like I said before, slavery is physical. Enslavement is mental. And bondage is spiritual. Bondage means you're bound for ages. And the spirit, these cycles, incarnation, reincarnation, this epigenetic memory, this trauma, keep being born and born into trauma and dying in a state of trauma, birthed in, coming into the world in a state of trauma and leaving the world in a state of trauma. Then the cycle repeats itself. See, this is the generational curses they speak of that has to be broken. Ignorance is what keeps us bound. We have to have knowledge, but not just knowledge. We have to apply that knowledge. It's not just good. We can't just be conscious, but we have to be conscientious as well. So knowledge, they say knowledge is power. No, knowledge plus application equals power. Without the application, there's no power. It's just knowledge. It's like laying in the bed, woke. But you don't get up. You never get out of bed. You're just laying there, but just saying, my eyes are open. Okay? It's the same thing. You have knowledge, but are you going to apply it? So that means open your eyes. Raise yourself up. And expand. Grow. Evolve. But there's always a warning before destruction, and we continue to ignore this elephant in the room. It's like we want to act like nobody really wants to talk about it. So when you hear people, all these terms that's floating around now, when you hear people talk about narcissism, or misogyny, or chauvinism. You know, and often it's referred to as a male narcissism, male chauvinism, misogyny, hatred towards women. But in actuality, you know, you got all these terms, but you're not really addressing that the culture that created all of these isms. All of this is the culture of your colonizer. If you were stripped of your culture, stripped your language, stripped of your knowledge itself, and you were appropriated into someone else's culture, and then they instilled their cultural values into you, then what does that make you? You're a product of that culture. You're a product of that environment. That's the culture that you've been appropriated into. And you become a manifestation of that. Now your outlook on the world, the way you view the world the same way your oppressor views the world. You view the world through the eyes of your oppressor. You view yourself the way they view you. They don't see the value in you, or don't see value in you, don't see worth in you. Besides what they can get out of you, or how they can capitalize and use you to their advantages. So if they don't see that, then you're not going to see the value and the worth in you. And then what you're going to do to yourself or to people who look like you is try to capitalize, take advantage, and abuse, because this is the culture that you've been appropriated into. Whether it be misogyny, whether it be chauvinism, whether it be narcissism, let's just deal with the elephant in the room. Whether it be sexism, let's just deal with the elephant in the room. This is all the culture of your colonizer. And you're talking about the ideology of cultural supremacy, cultural domination. See, because you got to understand culture. Culture means to honor the divine, or some would say God, or to honor God. Or so with a culture in the way that people honor God, that's done differently in different cultures. But see, the ideology of cultural supremacy supports the theory that there's only one and there can be only one. One God, one culture, one way of being. And this is all a control mechanism. This is a way to keep people in a state of control. It's easier to get people on one accord and control how they move than to have them all thinking differently. And then you have to create random methods to control movement. If you come up with a way where you can get everybody to try and push it to be one thing and it to all be the same, to not have any individuality in a healthy way, the way that they should have individuality, as opposed to practicing individuality in the form of individualism or capitalism, but actually practicing it in a healthy way and practicing it on individualism as getting in touch with themselves and what makes them unique and special as who they are. Because, you know, we're all unique. You know, we're all designed different. We're uniquely designed a certain way. We've been told that, we know, we need to throw our uniqueness away, and that we all need to be the same. You know, that we need to move the same, and that we need to think the same and act the same and respond the same. But that's not so. But that's a belief that's supported by the ideology of cultural supremacy. Again, the ideology of cultural supremacy supports the theory and pushes the narrative of one God, one race, people, one culture. But in actuality, God is cultural. Culture means to honor God. How you honor God is different in different cultures. Therefore, one man's God can be another man's devil. No. And if that wasn't so, churches wouldn't have missionaries. They wouldn't send people out on missions to convert people, conversion missions to convert people to their culture or to their God, because they're recruiting soldiers in the army of their Lord, their superior, their king. The way that it's presented to you is not the way that it really is. They give you the dogma, and they let you play with all of the religious dogma while they use all of the science and apply it and get the results. While they're giving you dogma, you're applying that, and you're not getting the results that you desire. Which it doesn't matter anyway, because if what you desire has already been hijacked and now you are possessed, you're not thinking for yourself anyway. You know, you're only going to further stimulate the system pressing you or that's giving you the pain. You know. They talk about the matrix. You hear a lot about the matrix. You got to understand that when you black, you're dealing with multiple matrices. Like, you know, it's not just one matrix. You know, when you say matrix, or we can say box. And it's kind of funny how that go together, like matrix, box, because matrix means womb. And then, you know, slang, we'll call that box. You know, see how our ancient minds work? You know, how our ancestors flow through us and how we make connections. And, you know, even in our slang, it's inscripted and it's coded. And it's there to be broken down. It's science in everything we do. We look at the art of it, but don't really get with the science of it. But yeah, the boxes, matrix, box. So think about this, right? If you're in a ghetto, you're in a ghetto matrix. You got all the boxes that come with being black, all the ops in this ghetto matrix. So then say you make it out that matrix. Then you got to deal with this other matrix, this corporate matrix, let's say, and all of the ops that you deal with in that matrix. Then let's say you make it out of that matrix. And then you're dealing with the matrix of humanity and getting out of that box. Being overly attached to this human existence like there's nothing greater. Being overly attached to this third dimension, like there's not greater or higher dimensions to elevate to. You see, because on a spiritual level, this is all ascension prevention. This is all to keep you here, to keep you stuck, to keep you entertaining the illusion, to keep the illusion alive. So this goes back to what I was saying earlier about attention and giving attention to these parasites. Giving your energy to these parasites, giving your blood to these parasites, you got to start starving them. You got to learn how to detach, find ways to be self-sufficient and to become more independent and stop leaning towards the system and start moving more away from the system. You know, start gravitating away from the system and finding ways to exist outside of the system. Because if you keep putting your hope in the system, it won't do you dirty every time. You know, it's Hegelian dialectic. If you don't know what that is, look it up. But they're going to give you the problem. They're going to wait for your reaction. And then they're going to come with a solution that's aligned with their agenda. But see, the thing is while people are picking teams to argue to fight on, you don't understand that both teams are working together. They both have one agenda, but they're pushing two different narratives to get to that one point of action, you know, to get to that one overall goal. They'll have you arguing about a lot of different things, you know, left wing, right wing, but it's all the same bird. That bird has a direction that it's going in. The left wing isn't going in one direction and the right wing isn't going in another direction. No, that bird is headed in one direction. But it'll get you to support that. It'll get you to assist and getting them to where they want to be by creating these spectacles and alluring the people and drawing the people. You know, then it gets to a point of this mass energy ritual, you know. But, yeah, when you black, though, this matrix thing, it's a lot deeper, you know, because it's a lot of obstacles and a lot of things put in place to keep you back or to keep you in an inferior position, or to keep you in a subservient position, to keep you in a subjective position. You know, escape all of those boxes. Well, you have certain other people where, you know, they may only have one matrix to deal with. They may only have one box or one illusion to deal with. But when you're dealing with multiple illusions and you're stuck inside of these different boxes, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to find peace or for you to get to a place, you know, where you're truly balanced. Because everything is set in place to keep you in a chaotic state. So even with these mass shootings, which are, you know, mass rituals, you know, this designed to get you, you know, in an uproar, you know, to stir your energy. You know, they spirit cook that energy, you know, they feed off of that, you know. We ain't going to talk spooky or nothing like that, you know. But you got to understand, though, that this shit is done by design, you know. So just keep your eyes open, you know, like just really pay attention, you know. Don't let yourself get caught up in this, you know, with being a reactionary, you know, because you can't think straight that way, you know. You know, then they got a lot of movements too that's put in place to counteract natural organic movement of the people. You know, so you have a lot of false movements, a lot of government sanctioned movements, you know, government movements and people face. You think that these are real movements are created by the people, but no, they're actually, you know, designed and COINTELPRO organizations to infiltrate the masses and control the direction of the people. You know, so when you hear a term, and it's popular, like a term is like woke. You hear it everywhere. You got shows woke, news anchors, TV, everybody woke, talking about woke. Listen, woke is the new sleep. Whenever mainstream media gets a hold of a term, you can expect it to be perverted and distorted. The purpose is to keep you asleep or to put you back to sleep. Fact of the matter is, you're not woke. You're just yawning. You spend your whole life waking up. You don't fully awaken until your eyes are permanently closed. But you spend your whole life waking up. So you're not woke. You're just yawning. You know? You're not woke until you're dead. You're not woke until you're done learning. Woke symbolizes learning, growth. You're not done growing until you're dead. You know, so you're in a constant state of growing. You should be growing through life, not going through life. So it's not about being woke. It's about growing. It's about growth, consciousness. It's about awareness. But awareness of self, the knowledge of self. And when we talk about woke or awakening, we're talking about the awakening of your soul, the awakening of the true you, the inner you, the natural you, the real you. Not the synthetic you, the artificial you, or the superficial you that they programmed you to be, but the natural you, the organic you that you were designed to be. That you were naturally designed to be. Energy reciprocates. The energy you put out is the energy you get back. So be mindful of who and what you match energy with. You know, it could be a pig rolling around the mud, and the pig fling mud on you. You want to match energy with that? You want to hop in the pig pen and roll around in the mud and fling mud back at the pig? Or are you going to think of a more intelligent way to deal with that or to handle that situation, a more militant, a more strategic way to deal with that? See, it starts with organization, order and structure and organizing, you know, collectivism, you know, and collectively coming together as a people, you know, under one common cause, you know, and that's freeing themselves from oppression. You know, you got to have some type of, counter, you know, because if you're dealing with cultural supremacy or ideology of white supremacy, you know, then you're going to have to practice some type of nationalism. Now, again, we're talking about classes, white, black. So you're going to have to, you know, develop some type of black nationalistic views and actually really engage in black nationalism, you know, aggregating your skills and your resources together to build your own nation, to build your own community. You don't have to be a part of their corporation. You can separate yourself from that. You know, now Jews or the so-called Jewish people, they have their own community. So-called Amish people, they have their own communities. And it's outside the jurisdiction of these policy officers, policy enforcers. Outside the jurisdiction is a corporation, because the corporation produces policies. And then the policy officers or policy enforcers, they enforce the policy. It's pretty much like a police corps, or, you know, they patrol the building, you know, like security. You know, in a corporate building, you have security, different floors, you know, they patrol the building, you know, patrol the offices, you know, make sure everything is in order, you know, and they enforce the policies of the building, you know, to maintain that order. It's the same thing on outside the building when you're talking about corporate pertaining to land. You have policy enforcers. In the same way security patrols a building, they patrol the land. And so when they abuse or mistreat or, you know, do what it is that they do, it's not an issue because they're just doing their job. You could try and make them feel bad about it, make them feel remorseful about it, but ultimately, they may not view that the way that you view it. They may not think they did anything wrong. See, I said, like, you know, even with, like, these mass shootings, what that person may perceive as right, you may perceive as wrong. It could have really felt like he was doing something for the right reasons and serving a just cause, and that what he did was right. So this is how we go back to culture. One man's God could be another man's devil. See, this is all a matter of perception. It's not a universal thing. It's perception. You know, so some people will say what goes around comes around, and he's going to get his karma. Karma is a personal, perceptual cause and effect. He would have to view that energy, or have to view what he did as being something wrong, something negative, or something that he shouldn't have done, or something negative, to come back to him. It doesn't have anything to do with how you feel about the situation and you projecting how you feel and you wanting something bad to happen to somebody to happen. The only way something bad is going to happen to somebody, and if you want it to happen to them, you're going to have to make it happen to them. But you're not going to be able to depend on karma to do it for you. Because if that's the case, what the fuck was the karma for slavery? What is the karma for racism and white supremacy? What is the karma for cultural supremacy? Are they going to get it in this lifetime, or do they have to wait? Or they have to wait to answer to God? You know. But yeah, it's a personal perception, the way that people perceptualize, you know, right from wrong, you know. what's considered right in one culture could be considered wrong in another culture, and vice versa. You know, there's some cultures where, you know, they have no concept of sin. You had to teach these people sin through stories and making them feel guilt or remorse, telling them that their ancestors wronged your ancestors, and you have to wrong this right for what your ancestors did. Look at the look up the Panara Indians out in the Colorado area and how they created the Panara Bible to instill fear and sin and remorse and guilt in these people and having them seeking salvation, which ultimately led to their domination, their genocide, et cetera, et cetera. That wasn't the only people that it was done to. And it's going to continue to be done. Different methods, different forms, different tools are used for different groups. But still, you got to know that this system is working, you know. So the question is, you know, what are you going to do individually to prevent it from being you that's a victim to this system? Only thing you can do is work on yourself and prepare yourself and build yourself up mentally, physically, spiritually, you know. Exercise your mind. Exercise your body. Nourish your mind. Nourish your body. Don't neglect yourself, you know. Maximize your health. You know, get yourself in a healthy state of being, a healthy state of mind. You know, because that's really what's going to guide you through all of this, you know. And then, of course, you make decisions and we do different things to help make our lives comfortable and things like that. But ultimately, we have to have peace. We have to be able to maintain our identity in this chaos. You know, so we have to strengthen our body. We have to strengthen our mind. We have to be in shape. This is not a time to be out of shape or to let ourselves go. We got to get a hold to ourselves. You know, we got to get a hold of ourselves and whip ourselves into shape mentally and physically, you know, because you at war. You know, these people want you to think that your ancestors were slaves. Their ancestors wasn't slaves. Their ancestors was prisoners of war. And the war never ended. Still going on. You're still prisoners of war. You are the descendants of prisoners of war. You are the captives. And when you're a captive or a prisoner of war, you become what some would call a slave or a servant. You have to do the bidding of your prisoner, of your captors, of those who imprisoned you. The same way as someone who's in prison. When you're in jail or you're locked up or you're in that situation, there's a warden. There's a prison. The prison has an agenda. The prison has a culture. The prison has a system. The prison is a system. And you have to function in the system a certain type of way. Now you're a cell in a cell, in jail. The same that this body you're trapped in and what some would call this physical hell with this physical cell that they're trapped in. So then when you're talking about jail or prison, that's just a duplicate of this human matrix that we're dealing with that we're in. But it's a culture. It's an agenda. And your ancestors were not slaves. They were prisoners of war. The war is still going on. But these people have convinced you that there's no war going on. When was martial law declared? Abraham Lincoln. The whole emancipation, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Martial law being declared. President that stepped in. They never undeclared martial law. It's been going on ever since. That's why they're always telling you it's a war on something, war on drugs, war on crime, war on poverty, war on terror, war on this, war on that. Because you're in a state of war. It's a constant state of war. It's war that's going on. And there's many battles that are being fought. But you're in a state of war. You're in prison and you don't even realize it because you're on work release. And the work release came with an incentives and privileges. And you've been on work release for so long, you forgot that you're even in prison. You forgot that you're even a prisoner of war. Because they gave you so many pacifiers and they gave you so many different things that you can enjoy while in prison that you forget that you're even in prison to begin with. So then the question is, well, how do we get out of this prison? Right now, let's correct wrong behavior. You know, we have to give them back their bullshit. You have to reclaim your natural mind, your African mind. You know, when I say Africa, I'm not referring to like a continent or a place. You know, we're talking about a title, you know, Africa, House of the Divine Creator. We have to get back and tap into our divine creative mind as opposed to allowing ourselves to be corrupted and manipulated by the so-called powers that be. We have to open up our eyes and acknowledge that it's a war going on. We have to acknowledge the elephant in the room and then figure out how to get the elephant out the room. How are we going to kill the elephant? You know. But I'm not really going to carry this out too much more. You know, I just wanted to touch on a few things that was on my mind. So I figured I'd just come on and just talk it out, just talk to the people, you know. But yeah, you know, you definitely got to wise up to what's going on out here and don't let yourself fall victim to these tricks and these shenanigans and shit because they're definitely how you losing your mind out here, you know, if you get too caught up in this, you know, and that's the whole point is to get you off focus, you know, to keep you in a state of trauma because you can't think logically when you're in trauma and, you know, you can never revolt or have any sort of revolution in a state of trauma because, again, the revolution takes place in the mind. So if your mind isn't right and you're in that state of trauma, pardon me, the revolution won't be right. You know, it'll be doomed before it starts. You know, the revolution has to be thorough. The revolution starts in the mind. So we got to start training ourselves mentally, you know, detaching from all of this bullshit, detaching from all of this nonsense and putting our head in the right places, educating ourselves and exercising all of this toxic energy that we've been bombarded with, you know. Got to get our mind right, you know. I say get your mind right, get your money right. Get ready for war, you know. Mind right, money right, ready for war, you know. That's how it's got to be. It's got to be in order, you know. You got to crawl before you walk. And walk before you run. And run before you fly. You got to do things in order. That's how you keep your foot and that's how you keep from falling, you know. So we got to organize and keep the order, keep the structure, you know, and really just educate ourselves and come together. And do what we need to do to navigate through this weather, you know. But I'm gonna close this up. You know, this is just a random live. You know, this wasn't scheduled. It wasn't nothing. I just hopped on, went with the spirit, flowed with it, and you know, just delivered this. You know, so willfully, you get something from this. This is something that maybe somebody needed to hear. Or something that you know. Just open your eyes to the situation and what it is and, you know, keep you on track and keep you on focus, you know what I'm saying, and not getting distracted and not letting yourself get put in a toxic place with all these emotions and this fear, you know, because fear is how they keep you here. That's how they, that's the main tool, you know, that they use to keep you locked in the system, you know, fear. You know, people don't commit crimes or they obey the law because of fear, out of fear. Fear of going to jail. You know, people obey the law or God or commandments or out of fear of going to hell. You know. But again, it's all about staying in control of your mental. And it's all about being aware of the world around you and everything that's going on around you and being prepared for it. So you can't get caught off point. You can't get caught slipping. You got to be prepared. Got to get on point. You know, start studying. Start learning. If you don't know it, look it up. They got tutorials on any and everything you want to know. Educate yourself, you know. But you have to, you know, if you don't want to get caught slipping and become a victim out here, you know. So with that being said, I'm going to sign out, you know. Appreciate anybody for tapping into the frequency. I'm sure most people won't catch this in the archives and play it back, you know. But until next time, you know, which scheduled time is Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So until then, eulogy, holistic art of war, out.
That our people are dead. Negroes are dead. Walking zombies. You're the one that the book is talking about who is dead. Dead to the knowledge of yourself. Dead to the knowledge of your own people. Dead to the knowledge of your own God. Dead to the knowledge of the devil. Why, you don't even know who the devil is. You think the devil is someone down inside the ground that's going to burn you after you're dead. Why, the devil is right here on top of this earth. He got blue eyes, blonde hair, white skin, and he's giving you hell every day. And you're still too dead to see it. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that the 20 million black people in America in the last days will be taught the truth. The trumpet of truth will sound in your ear. As it's being sounded today, the trumpet of truth. And this truth strikes your ear and strikes your heart. It'll open your eyes. It'll open your ears. It'll make you stand up. It'll do the same thing for you that truth did for the dry bones in the valley. Because the picture of dry bones in the valley is talking about you. The picture of Lazarus laying dead 4 days is talking about you. You are Lazarus. You are the dry bones. You are the prodigal son. You are the lost sheep. You are the people about whom the Bible is speaking who will stand up in the last day when the trumpet is sounded. Black people are waking up. Black people are standing up. Black people are rising up and they're throwing fright into that knee-shaking white man. We believe we are the people of God's choice. That's what we believe. We believe we're the chosen people. We don't believe Jews are the chosen people. We don't believe Jews are the ones going to the promised land. We don't think Jews are a part of God. No, Jews are nothing but another part of that same race of devils that come out of Europe. They didn't even come out of the Holy Land. They come out of the caves of Europe. A Jew, a Frenchman, an Irishman, Italian, all of them the same thing. A race of devils. They got different kinds. Germans, Irish, all of them the same thing. Just like you got a German Shepherd, an Irish Setter, a French Poodle, a Chihuahua, but they all dogs. We furthermore, we believe we are the people of God's choice. As it is written, that God would choose the rejected and despised. And we can find no other person fitting this description in these last days more than the so-called Negroes in America. We believe in the resurrection of the righteous. We believe in the judgment. We believe this first judgment will take place as God revealed right here in America.
Right.
The judgment will take place in America. The resurrection will take place in America. The judgment will take place in America. The separation will take place in America. And the destruction will take place in America. Doom will take place in America. Doomsday will take place right here. This is the place the Bible is talking about. When the Bible mentions Babylon, it means America. When the Bible mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, that's America. When the Bible mentions Egypt, that's America. This is Rome. This is Babylon. This is that wicked kingdom that God is going to come and set flame to in the last day. And you're living in that day right now. And I'm glad.
born black, I live black, and I'm gonna die probably because I'm black. Because some cracker that knows I'm black better than you, nigga, is probably gonna put a bullet in the back of my head.
Yeah, our lives fucked up. No doubt. All this shit we go through every day. Sometimes a nigga don't know what the fuck to do. But see, I got my niggas. And we gon' organize the people army. And we gon' get control over our own lives. And I mean that shit right there from the bottom of my shit. I change.
Yeah. Imagine having no running water to drink. Chemicals contaminate the pipes leading to your sink. Just think, if the grocery stores close their doors and they saturate the streets with tanks to start martial law, would you be ready for civil war? Could you take the life of somebody you know or have feelings for them necessary? I got cousins in the military, but far as I'm concerned, they die when they register.
This world is oh so cold. I think about my ancestors being stolen and make me wanna break the mold. Fuck the goal and the party. Train yourself, cling and shouty. Tell me what you gonna do to get free. We need more than MCs. We need Hueys, the revolutionaries, the niggas on the streets today. It's kinda scary. The smell around my way ain't roses or strawberries. In fact, it's kinda poisonous, bringing out the boy in us. But I'ma stand up on my own, like a man do. Dominate the land and make wealth like Fu Manchu. Yes, the people's army stick together like glue. We represent the I Ching, and to this we stand true. Military formation, anyone participation is welcome. Each one teach one, son help son. Just one gun is all it takes to get it started. Living in the wilderness of the West, we cold-hearted.
If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system. If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system.
Peace, but I kill you if you fuck with my moms on my knees. See, we all want peace, but the problem is crackers want a bigger piece. Got it where the niggas can't get a piece. That's why police get stabbed and shot, cause a nigga can't eat if the ab is hot. Locked up, you get 3 hot meals in 1 cot. Then you sit and rot, never even got a fair shot. That's where a whole lot of niggas end up. My man moms even got sent up, trying to keep the rent up. When I'm bent up, I think a lot about the reason I'm here. I think about the things I fear in the coming years ahead of me. I'm ready for whatever they bring, though. I go against a tank with a shank for my dreams, and that's my fucking word. One day the whole world will smoke herb, and niggas won't get took to jail for hanging on the curb.
If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system. If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system.
I don't wanna be no movie star, and I don't wanna drive no fancy car. I just wanna be free to live my life, to live my own life.
If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system. If you don't think it can happen, think again, my son. Be prepared for the worst that's yet to come. We want freedom, prophecies of ancient wisdom. Cataclysm, niggas be like, fuck the system.